And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. Well, I hope after the new year, and I hope you had a blessed new year. We certainly did. And we had a great Christmas also. I think I filled you in on everything that we did. We were with Mom and Dad over the Christmas holidays. Got to relive some of the old traditions that we used to do. Go out to eat with several pastors and friends of ours in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where our ministry headquarters are. Of course, I'm coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. But we had a great time with the family. Got to do a lot of things. And if you're familiar with our ministry, Jody in our ministry had a birthday. She's my sister. She also handles all of my correspondence with folks as far as my speaking engagements and also Dad's. She's the one that you would call if you want to book either myself or Dad to come to your church or to your area and speak. And she handles all those details. She's really our right-hand woman, I guess you would say. She's the person that makes it all happen for Dad and myself as we both travel. And we had a great time celebrating her birthday. And it's such a neat thing to be together. And I'm sure as all of you had the opportunity to be with your families, you will understand the privilege that we have to be able to be with our families. And I thank the Lord every single day as the Lord continues our ministry with Dad. Mom on the road is what they're doing, and myself, my brother, as he's guiding our ministry and helping us financially as our CEO and CFO of our ministry and all that goes on. And this is just giving you a little bit behind the scenes of what takes place at Prophecy Today. And we had a fantastic time and a new year. My wife and I came back to San Antonio, and now begins after the holidays, we begin our travel schedule. Both Dad and I and myself and my brother will actually be in London next week doing some conferencing together with some of our ministry partners that are involved with us and overseas in Europe. Montenegro, Romania will all be coming together to be together and do some planning on the year ahead. And then, of course, I'll be teaching at the Word of Life Bible Institute in Hungary. I think there are 70 students from about 29 different countries. I love that you're able to teach to these young people. Their minds are open, and they're ready to take what they know and take it back to the land where they're from. Nationals that live in those and work, and there'll be pastors, ministers, missionaries, lay people. Of course, Dad started years ago, and it's been passed on down to me, and I'll be teaching the book of Revelation. Pray for me as we are there. A lot of you have sent in support for us to be able to do this, and I'm so thankful to that. I'm thankful that you participate in our ministry to do that. I really am. You know, as I think about it, it's a humbling experience, and if you're involved in a ministry, you know what I'm talking about, but we really do depend on everyone to be a part of our ministry, to help us in all that we do. By the way, let me remind you that there are so many things that are happening, and you need to stay tuned on our website, our School of Prophets conference coming up in April 19th through the 21st, I believe, and then, of course, our trips to Israel in May 4th through the 17th, and then we have one in September. So you want to stay tuned to our website. There's an announcement there about we just did partnered with the John Ankerberg Show, John Ankerberg Ministries. And, of course, John, a great apologist. Apologetics is his field. And we partner with them. We did our DVD with them, Israel Under Fire. Fantastic response to that. And by the way, I got to tell you, it's done very well, and it really does present and easy to understand. And if you want to teach class, it's divided up into 8 sections. The very things that we keep our eyes on in Bible prophecy, you can purchase that. I help produce that with the John Ankerberg Ministries with Dad and John there in Israel. And we have a brand new series, and you can get that series, but there's a brand new one coming out, and we just did several brand new programs with John that will be airing all this month on, I believe, the Inspiration Network and a couple other networks that are out there. Go to your local TV guide and find out where that's going to be, or go to our website or John's website. You'll find out that information. So there's a lot of pertinent information on our website. Make sure that you continually go there. It's there, and it's our role, it's our privilege, it's our responsibility that God has given us to help keep the body of Christ alerted to world events and what's taking place in the light of God's prophetic word. Earl Randall sends in a question. He asks a question about what role, if any, does the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope, what role will they play in end time prophecy? Well, Earl, thank you for sending us a note on the Catholic Church. We believe the Catholic Church will play a major role in the tribulation period. Now, at least it is the infrastructure of the church that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 17. And by the way, one of our latest DVDs, not the very latest one we did on the kingdom, but we did one, Rome Rising. That's a great DVD. I shot it with Dad in Rome, and actually three different locations: Ephesus, Jerusalem, and Rome. We shot this video, and actually in the Vatican. So we do believe that the church that's described in Revelation 17 will be at least the Catholic Church is the infrastructure for that church that is there. It's a very interesting chapter in the book of Revelation, this 17th chapter, where John reveals that false church that will be in place during the first half of the tribulation period. Remember, the rapture takes place, and then the Antichrist comes on the scene, establishes his headquarters in the city of Rome, and establishes the false church. The word church is not used in these verses because the true church, an assembly of Bible-believing, born-again Christians, will have departed already from this earth and moved up into the heavenlies to be with Jesus Christ. That's the rapture of the church. These Christians leave this place at the rapture before the judgment begins here on the earth. What is that key event that starts that seven-year period of time, that 70th week of Daniel? That's the signing, well, the confirming, as Daniel says in Daniel chapter 9, that confirming of a peace agreement between Israel and the Antichrist. So this is not the true church here in Revelation 17, but a false church that comes to power soon after the rapture and the beginning of the 7 years of judgment here on the earth. There's a lot that we can talk about on the information that is ascribed to that false church. Verse 5. Revelation chapter 17 refers to Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. This is a reference all the way back to Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, where Nimrod establishes a religion in Babylon 4,500 years ago. And he says, "Let us build us a tower whose top may reach unto heaven." This verse is speaking of that beginning of a mother-son cult that was started in the literal city of Babel, which later became Babylon, and still is Babylon has not been destroyed. There's a specific judgment given to that city of Babylon that it will be destroyed, specifically in Revelation chapter 18. That false religion that was started in Babylon right after the flood and at the fall of the Babylonian Empire in 539 BC moved its headquarters from Babylon to Pergamos. You might remember that. That's one of those seven churches in Asia Minor, seven churches that are talked about today that they're there in Turkey. This is the location where the Roman emperors were deified. They were called Pope as their religious title. This is fairly well documented, and we've done our homework and we've seen this, but this false cultic religion that began in Babel all the way back in Genesis chapter 11, then made its way to Pergama, and this false religion is going to come into being. The beast in the passage is the Antichrist, and the whore is the false church. The word woman is also referring to the whore, the false church. The revived Roman Empire is the ten horns in this passage. So you see there's a lot that's there in Revelation chapter 17. And I believe the European Union, which got its beginning in that seven-hilled city of Rome, with the Treaty of Rome that was signed, that is going to come back to power. That European Union is going to be the infrastructure for the revived Roman Empire that's talked about in Daniel chapter 7, this power base that the Antichrist will use to accomplish his goals. Verse 9, the reference to the seven heads in verse 9 is speaking of the seven mountained city of Rome. This city, Rome, is the headquarters for the one world false church under the leadership of the Antichrist during the first half of the tribulation period. Verse 16 tells us that the revived Roman Empire, most likely that European Union of today, will rise up and destroy this false church at the end of the first 3.5 years. And notice that they do this because the Lord has put it in their hearts to do his will. That's verse 17, key verse in Revelation chapter 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. And there are several thoughts that you might consider when you're reading this passage. This false church is in the making today, especially with the emerging church movement and the coming together of all types of religious groups with the Pope and the church as he is directing this. Plus, I believe with churches all across the world that have stopped teaching the doctrines of the faith, have left that foundation and are now moving in the direction and partnering. I mean, I'm amazed when I see the partnering of long-standing churches that had great testimonies in their communities, in their faith, great teachers. They've departed for one reason or another. Some of it, they got to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. They got to keep up with all the other churches. They have to keep people coming in. And so they stop teaching those doctrines that make people feel uncomfortable. I mean, the church has become politically correct. And I'm not trying to get on a soapbox here, but you asked a question all about this, what role the Catholic Church will be. I believe that we're seeing it as it's being formed now. And you keep your eyes. I would encourage you, be a part of a church that takes a stand in their community, that really studies true Bible, biblical doctrine. It is disappearing from our churches, and it's an evidence that we are moving ever so close to the time of the false church that's described in Revelation chapter 17. But remember, before this false church is up and operating in the tribulation period, the rapture must take place first, Earl, and the true church will depart this place, this earth, and go to the heavenlies, go to another place. And that's into the presence of Jesus Christ. So I believe that we're very close to the rapture, and it could happen today. So we got to keep looking up, or I'll keep looking up, brother. Thank you for that question. Thanks for sending that in, and keep studying the Word of God. Lorna McLaughlin sends in a question. She says, "Hi, Jimmy. I truly enjoy your radio show. I have read Revelation over about 10 to 12 times. Well, she's referring to Revelation, a chronology, the book that Dad put together. Fantastic book, easy to understand. I would encourage you all, if you need a commentary, and you say, you know what, no matter what commentary I read, the book of Revelation is so confusing. I would encourage you to go to our website, our Prophecy Today bookstore, order that, and I believe we have a special right now on the three main prophetic books of the Bible: Daniel, which is a book that was written to the Gentiles; Ezekiel, one that covers and it was written for the Jewish people; and the book of Revelation, the Revelation of chronology. Now, all of those are there. We have a special deal going on right now on the three. Are three books that pertain to the three main prophetic books of the Bible. And that's what Lorna's referring to. Thank you, Lorna. Well, you probably have that book about memorized right now if you've read it over 12 times. I have also also read through the entire Bible more than 10 times. And that, I believe, is even much more important than reading through Revelation and chronology 12 times. We got to stick to the Word. I always tell people, what does the Word say? And I've noticed things in the Old Testament and Revelation that lead me to believe that everything after Revelation 3 is intended for the Jewish believers of the tribulation. There are many references to the Old Testament in the chapters that follow the church age section, and they would have meaning only to Jewish believers. Not that it excludes any believer, but it will be a survival manual for the Jewish believers. What do you think? Well, exactly, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. Lorna, I think you're right on. Thank you for sending us a note about the Jewish believers during the tribulation. You're absolutely right, and that's why we put Bibles in Petra. Because remember, and just we've talked about this in the past, our groups that would go over there, we would encourage those people that went with us to Petra, one of the seven wonders of the world. And it's a great trip as part of our trip to Israel. When you go all that way, you might as well go to that 25 square mile area. Well, we would encourage our groups that would go with us to wrap Bibles in plastic and have them ready to take them and hide them in those caves in the city of Petra, that 25 square mile. We believe that that's the area where the Jews are going to flee to at the midway point of the tribulation. And the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the Antichrist confirms that peace agreement, and he provides a peace, although it's a false peace, for the Jewish people. And he promised to protect them. But at the midway point of that tribulation period, he turns his back on them. Two-thirds of the Jews are wiped out. One-third of the Jews, according to Zechariah, flee to the wilderness. And that one-third, we believe, go to the city of Petra, that red rock area that's 25 square miles that was inhabited by Esau and the Edomites, the Nabataeans, the Romans. Through history, that area that you can go visit today, we believe that that's where the Jews will go to be protected in the cleft of the rocks. And there's other passages that we tie into this, Isaiah chapter 63, Revelation chapter 14. So there's a lot there that's pertaining to this area and why we believe. But the point is that the Jews will go there. And Lorna, to your point that, you know, everything after Revelation chapter 4, which is the rapture of the church, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, that begins the rapture. We see chapter 4, we're ushered into, and we get a tour of the throne room of heaven, what's there. That I believe that that's when the judgment seat of Christ takes place. I believe that that's when then God takes the scroll. God seated on the throne gives and takes that scroll to and gives it to Jesus Christ, that lamb that was slain. And then Jesus Christ is the one that opens that first seal that's then talked about in Revelation chapter 6, which is the Antichrist coming on the scene. The very first thing that the Antichrist does is bring that peace treaty. He establishes his authority to do that in the city of Rome and establishes the false church that we just talked about. And then that's what kicks off. That confirming of that peace agreement kicks off that seven-year period of time, which is from Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And that is the portions of the passage that pertain to the tribulation period. And you're absolutely right, Lorna. If people would read that, and there will be those that will get copies of the scriptures, I would think, during this tribulation period. And this would be the perfect roadmap, if you would, to what's going to take place. Times, there are even days that are laid out as to when events are going to take place. But by the way, which leads me to say that I believe the rapture takes place before any of these events of Revelation chapter, from the events from Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 19. Because I believe that the rapture is an imminent event. It could happen at any moment. And since I believe that, there are no prophecies left to be fulfilled. We have to live every single second prepared for that rapture to take place. That's one of the motivating factors of Bible prophecy. It's there to help us. It's a to continue this race on the earth, to finish well. So, we need to do that. That's why we study Bible prophecy. We don't cast it aside. And as so many people do, and say, you know what, people that study Bible prophecy, they're kooks. They put them in, and there are some out there. Maybe some people think that I'm a kook. That's okay. But I do know that 30% of God's word that contains Bible prophecy is there for a reason. It's to help us to understand the times in which we're living, just as Daniel understood. And he figured that out by reading the scriptures, by reading the prophet Jeremiah. So in doing all of this, it's there for the very reason for us to understand what's going to take place. And that's why, you know, with these days that are listed out, that are listed in the book of Revelation as to when certain events will take place, that gives me an indication that you could really map out events that are going to take place, when the judgments, as you see these things unfold, when you see the two witnesses appear in the city of Jerusalem, those two witnesses that are talked about in Revelation chapter 13. So, you know, I mean, excuse me, Revelation chapter 11. Well, anyway, Lorna, thank you for sending us a note pertaining to about the Jewish believers during the tribulation. You're absolutely right, and that's why we put those Bibles in Petra. In our prophecy conferences across the United States and around the world, we set aside time for Q&A. And I love this time because it gives me the opportunity to respond to what someone really wants to know about Bible prophecy. Often I'm asked about will there be anyone that can get saved during the tribulation period? And when you look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, Revelation chapter 7 talks about the 144,000. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, and after this I beheld, a great multitude, which no man could number, and all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. And I believe that this is a key verse that says that a large number of people will get saved during that time of the coming judgment. In fact, in verses 4 to 8 of chapter 7, it speaks of 144,000 male virgin Jews who will be saved at the beginning of the tribulation period, a result of the ministry of those two witnesses talked about that I mentioned in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 to 12. And those two witnesses will come on the scene. They'll be preaching in the streets of Jerusalem from the Temple Mount for 3.5 years. These 12,000 men from each of the 12 tribes of Israel that are listed, those 12 physical tribes are listed in Revelation chapter 7, will have a ministry of evangelism during the tribulation. And every person on the earth, all 7 billion, will have that opportunity, Lorna, to accept Christ as their personal Savior. They will hear. That's when it's talked about the gospel of the kingdom that will be preached in Matthew 24. And many will be saved. However, there is a group of people who will not be able to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. And remember, we always say this when we talk about this. Those people will be the ones who have heard the gospel before the rapture. If people have heard the gospel message and understood it before the rapture and rejected it, they will not be able to accept Christ as their personal Savior. That's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. Because they rejected the love of the truth, they will be caused to believe a lie. So if someone has heard that gospel message and rejected it and the rapture takes place, they will not have a chance to accept Christ during the tribulation period. But I believe that there are millions of people, billions of people that have not heard the gospel message. I know it's hard to believe in today's time. Getting back to what we were talking about, the false church and churches veering away from teaching strong biblical doctrine. I believe that there are churches, and I have visited a few. When my wife and I were making a transition to another church, we went around and you know, going to churches, listening and to the pastor speak. And there was no mention of the gospel given. There was no invitation. There was nothing that said, I believe that there are people that go to church that think that they're saved because they go to church and there's no mention of the gospel message. So notice there are three steps you got to hear, understand, and reject. There will be no second chance to get saved during the tribulation period. There may be some who have heard but never understood the gospel. Those will hear and have an opportunity to get saved during the tribulation period. There is a multitude that get saved. There are the tribulation martyrs, those saints that get saved. They're around the throne. There are so many people that are there that will get saved during the tribulation period. And you say, well, you know, so then why do we do evangelism now? Why do we send missionaries? Let's just wait. Well, remember, half of the world's population with those, a quarter of the world's population will be gone with those first seven judgments, the seven seal judgments. Half the world's population will die after that. So there's no guarantee that people will, even if they hear the message, accept it and believe it. So that's why we need to spend every moment that we have. That's one of the motivating factors for Bible prophecy. The Bible truth that I just explained to you may not fit with some fictional novels that are out there today, but remember, we don't get our doctrine from fictional novels, but from God's holy word, and as found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that's what the Word of God does for us. Those who get saved during the tribulation period are not known as Christians, O Lorna. Christians, all the Christians leave the earth at the rapture of the church when Jesus Christ shouts for us to join him in the heavenlies. Those Jews and Gentiles left on the earth at the rapture who trust Christ during the tribulation are called tribulation saints. These tribulation saints will rule and reign with Jesus in his kingdom to come. That's Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. So we are so looking forward to the rapture of the church as believers that we need to understand that Bible prophecy is there for us to so that we might know this time in which we're living. But Lorna, it is also there for those people during the tribulation period that happen to pick up the scriptures and take a look at it as to this roadmap of what's going to take place during the tribulation period, a timeline of events and what people need to do and how they will be able to understand these two witnesses that will be preaching. Although it does say Revelation chapter 11 that the people of the earth will become bitter or angry or upset or so mad at these two witnesses that they will blame them for all these judgments that are come upon the earth, that when they die at the end of the 3.5 years and they're lying in the streets of Jerusalem, people will exchange gifts because of their death. So although you would think people will take the opportunity to see what's happening, have the scriptures in front of them, listen to one of these 144,000 that will travel the earth giving the gospel, these evangelists, but not everybody does. And there will be people that will curse God and die and wish that they could die during the tribulation period. Anyway, thank you, Lorna. Great question. Keep studying God's word. We're so thankful for people like you that support our ministry and trust in us and sending us a question. And this is a very good question. Thank you, Lorna. Robin Jacob sends in a question. She says, what about India in last days prophecy? What role will they play in the end times in the last days? Well, thank you, Robin, for sending us a note on India. And according to John's revelation in chapter 16, chapter 12, the sixth angel will pour out his bowl and dry up the river Euphrates to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And there's been endless speculation about the kings from the East. Who are they? What countries do they encompass? With many expositors trying to relate them to some contemporary leaders of their generation. A survey of 100 commentators on the book of Revelation reveals that at least 50 interpretation of the identity of the kings of the East. So there are a lot of mixture as to who people and even religious, you know, prophecy teachers, who they think that. Now, we do know that according to Scripture, we can determine certain nations. In fact, we have one of the indications that we look at, I should say, as to how close that we are to the rapture of the church is the alignment of nations that are talked about in Ezekiel 38, Daniel chapter 11, Psalm 83. Those nations that are going to align and come against Israel. And, you know, we can go back and using Genesis chapter 10, when these nations were divided, these descendants of Noah after the flood, as they were divided. And there are certain people groups that, you know, had a language and they needed a land and they needed an area to go and they needed people to have a nation. And that's when nations were divided up. So we could tell from those nations back then where those people went as we read Bible prophecy, as to who those people are today and the alignment of nations coming. So that's why that there's some discrepancy. Probably the simplest and best explanation, however, is that this refers to the kings or the rulers from the Orient or the East who will participate in that final world war. In the light of the context of this passage, Robin indicating the near approach of the second coming of Christ in the contemporary world situation in which the Orient today contains a large portion of the world's population with tremendous military potential. And, you know, and I think any other interpretation other than a literal one doesn't make sense. So, and as you look at these, we do see these nations. And remember, Ezekiel 38 talks about Persia. Persia up until what was known as Persia up until 1937 has today been divided into three areas, Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. So when it starts to talk about the kings out of the East, I do believe that that would be India. I do believe that that would be China. I do believe, I mean, those are large mass people countries that will play a role in the future. And according to Revelation chapter 16, that great river Euphrates, because of its water boundary between the Holy Land and Asia to the east, you know, when it's dried up, that will make way for these nations to be drawn to the city of Jerusalem as the Antichrist draws them to for that final battle, the Battle of Armageddon. And so, you know, all of these are interesting. These are passages that will help in understanding the events surrounding the Lord's return at the end of the 7-year period of time. Begins, as it's talked about in Zechariah chapter 14, the armies of the world gathering at Jerusalem. That's Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. And this is the reason for the term the campaign of Armageddon. It begins in the city of Jerusalem and then makes its way up to the Jezreel Valley, the Valley of the Mountains. That valley today where when we go to Israel, we take you to Megiddo, Tel Megiddo that has been unearthed, that sits there overlooking the plain of the Jezreel Valley, the plains of Megiddo, which is where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. And so when you look at India, we do know. I mean, that's, you know, one of our most asked questions in Bible prophecy is, where is the United States in Bible prophecy? The only place that we find the United States in Bible prophecy is here in Zechariah chapter 14, when all the armies of the world, the Antichrist gathers all the armies of the world to the city of Jerusalem and from there to the Jezreel Valley for the Battle of Armageddon. And that is what ushers in the return of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ returns to the earth and defeats those armies of the world there By the way, it's from there, from the Jezreel Valley, after that Battle of Armageddon that takes place, that Jesus Christ goes that 174 miles, 76 miles from the Jezreel Valley to the city of Petra to gather the Jews that have gone into the wilderness to flee from the Antichrist, to be protected by God. Jesus Christ gathers those Jews in the wilderness, brings them from the way of the east over the Jordanian mountains, across the Dead Sea, up the backside of the Mount of Olives, over the Mount of Olives from the east into the city of Jerusalem through that golden gate, through the eastern gate. That's Bible prophecy that will be fulfilled in the future. Jesus Christ thus fulfilling those fall feasts that are talked about, that he fulfilled the spring feast, he will fulfill the fall feast, and that's how he will do it, exactly as he talked about when he walks in onto the Temple Mount today, where the Dome of the Rock is. That's where Jesus Christ will build the temple. He'll walk into the temple as the high priest and sit down on his throne, and then begins that 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ here on the earth. Exciting times. I'm so excited. I get so excited thinking about it. That's that blessed hope that I have, the rapture of the church and the events that will unfold in the future, and my role as part of the bride of Christ, and the role that I will fulfill with Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, and as the leader of the church, the body. And looking so forward to that. I hope that you are too. You know, we receive a crown, that crown of looking forward to the appearing of Jesus Christ, looking forward to these events, the final act, as you will, of the scriptures to be unfolded before us. And it's all laid out for us there to help keep us motivated, to help us stay on track, to help us do the things that we need to be doing each and every day as we're living here on this earth. Don't get so concerned with the events happening around us. We need to be very concerned about our families, about those that live next to us, about people that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Don't be misled by so many other things that Satan tries to sell you as, hey, you need to be involved in this, and you need to be involved in this, and you need to be involved in that. Our role as believers and everything that we do is to give glory and honor to God the Father. That's the very first thing. That second thing, a byproduct of giving glory to God, is to tell others about what God did by God sending his Son for all of mankind, that they might be redeemed, that they might have an opportunity to believe in salvation through the death of Jesus Christ. Anyway, thank you. Thank you so much, Robin, for sending that question in. Very good question. As people, especially if you look at our website, I would stay tuned each week, listen to our weekend program, as Dad talks to the people that are involved and what's happening around the world. We'll definitely give you an indication of these countries and these people and the nations that are involved and how they fit into Bible prophecy. You know, as a ministry, not everybody's always happy with us, and that's okay. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and as you study and as you look at the Word of God, we just ask that you use the proper principles for studying Bible prophecy and trying to understand what lies ahead and how what role we are to play in the future. But Billy sends in a question. He says, do we really need a year-in-review program? Aren't there things that don't need repeating? You keep hyping the rapture, and your stance on it has changed, as spoken over the years on your program, from imminent to could. He also attacks John Hagee as so off, and it can be seen that that by so many followers of Hagee proves the fact that sadly many, many Christians are low level in their intelligence. My former church and has no idea of the proper grammatical sequence. And Billy looks like he has an issue with us, and not only us, but John Hagee, Pastor Hagee, and his former church. And, and he says, hey, give me a call, I'll set you straight. Well, Billy, and thank you for sending us a note, Billy. Everyone does a year in review. I mean, I've seen so many year in reviews, which is good. It helps us to reflect on the things that have happened in the past, whether it be politics or, you know, sports, whatever happens within the church, the body of Christ. We are told to look back at things and review even how God has worked and how he has provided. I think that's a positive thing. I have no problem doing a year in review. As far as our stance on the rapture, it hasn't changed, Billy. From day one, we believe that it is an imminent event and that it could happen at any moment. I don't know why that would change. And I'm reminded of the verse in 2 Peter chapter 3. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Billy, I believe a knowledge of God's prophetic plan for the future will enhance our prospects for being successful in our adventure to serve him each and every day of the year, Billy. In the mind of Jesus, it's only been several days, according to verse 8, since he promised to return to set up his kingdom on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. There's only one reason that Jesus has not returned, Billy, to gather us unto himself with his shout, the shout of that archangel, and with the sound of that trump of God calling us to join him in the heavenlies, at which time we will be caught up to be with him forever. That's what the scriptures say. There's only one reason he hasn't called for us to join him, and that is because our Lord and Savior is not willing that any should perish, Billy. But he wants all of humankind to come to him as their Savior. Let me just draw your attention and all that are listening today to several other truths that are listed in that passage, in the passage of 2 Peter. And it presents for us to remember. Verse 4 speaks of those in the last day who will question the coming of the Lord back to the earth. The previous verse, verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 3, tells us why they doubt that the Lord will come again to be among us, because they will be scoffers walking after their own lust. This statement refers referring to both lost people as well as those who may be Christians but that are not in a good fellowship with the Lord. Verse 5 really says that they will be willfully ignorant of the fact that Jesus created all things. And we see that today. Colossians 1:16 says, in other words, that they will be dumb on purpose. That when it says willfully ignorant, dumb on purpose of the Lord's work. Verse 6 states that they will deny the worldwide flood. And verse 7 reveals the denial of a coming judgment day. These thoughts must be in our memory as we see current events each day, Billy. And I hope that this will help you as the world is setting the stage for all of Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. As I look at it, I'm amazed each and every day as to how events are being focused, and God is using world leaders to accomplish his will. We must understand that Jesus is only delaying, Billy, his return because of the lost that he wants to get saved. I trust that your email to us today, and this is my encouragement to all of you. You know, Bible prophecy is there for us to understand what's going to take place, to motivate us to live a pure, productive, holy life. Because at any moment, those of us that have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, with that shout, we'll be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account to how we lived our lives on this earth. And I wouldn't scoff at that. That's what motivates me to keep doing each and every day, not to be sidetracked. Those are the blinders, so to speak. You know what? I'm okay to just do these things. And if somebody wants to say, man, you're being foolish. There have been other people that say, hey, you're using escapism as to, you know, not dealing with the world situation. Well, that's not true. we do believe in that rapture, but we do, and we do know that people that die without Jesus Christ right now, they're going off into eternity, to hell, because they didn't accept God's gift of his son to them, that through his death that they might have eternal life. So we need to really be concerned about those around us. Not be so concerned about, our grammar tenses and, this or that. I'm not sure, Billy. My prayers for you and for those out there that are skeptical. I do believe that the rapture could happen at any moment, and let's live that way. That's the blessed hope that we have that's within us, and we need to be ready. When that last person accepts Jesus as their personal Savior, that's when God will say to his son, "Son, go get your bride, go get my children." And this could happen at any moment. In fact, truth be known, each of us could hasten the coming of Jesus Christ. And we could do that by telling others that Jesus Christ died for their sins. That's what we need to do. That's how we can hurry up the rapture of the church, by being involved in evangelism. Well, thank you so much for sending in, all of you for sending in and trusting our ministry by following us, by giving to our ministry, by you sending in these questions. That's a heavy responsibility on our part. But by you depending on us, whether it's because you trust us and giving you a biblical understanding of what's to come in Bible prophecy, or you have given to us financially, you trust that we are being wise stewards and being very responsible as to what God has given us to do. Thank you so much for listening today, and we look forward to next week. Keep sending in your Q&A questions to us. We would love to get answers for you, and we'll be very diligent about doing that. You know, looking at events as they are happening in our world today, it can't be very far off that the rapture of the church is going to take place. In fact, I think it could happen any moment. And having said that, there's nothing left for us to do except keep looking up until.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Jay Johnson inviting you to join us again next week for more of Prophecy Today. Prophecy Today is a listener-supported production of Shofar Communications in Chattanooga, Tennessee.